My thought this evening or this afternoon is effective instruction. I think about training and instruction. I think about it as this, that it's the thing that we rely on to keep us from having to rediscover something. We live in an age that, by and large, as generations progress in our nation, we have become more and more educated. To run into someone that can't read, that's illiterate today in our nation, is unusual. In my grandparents' age bracket, and especially the generation before them, it wasn't so uncommon to run into someone that would go into a place of business maybe and hand the cashier the checkbook and let them fill out the check, and then they sign their name or maybe just put their mark down there. That would seem strange to you, for someone else to fill out your check and maybe even put your name on it, and then you just put a little X down there, wouldn't it? It seemed very strange to me. So we have progressively received more and more instruction, and we rely on that to the point that and we're going to elaborate on this more with the help of the Lord. We rely on education preparing us to educate. All right? So we have educators in our world today that have limited experience that are training another generation. I believe that opposition to receiving instruction is probably another topic that can be taken up another time. I want to try to deal with the help of the Lord, giving instruction and being able to do it on a congenial, effective manner, and what seems to work, at least in my mind. You know, the most beautiful thing about effective instruction is that people can be equipped to bypass negative experiences in life. That's the hope of education, of instruction, is to be able to pass something on so the next generation doesn't have to learn something the hard way. But what I found is there's a certain amount of learning things the hard way that we all have to do before it really sinks in. If you just stop and think about it, if you can effectively teach someone how to avoid making a catastrophic mistake, and they can realize the benefit of that without going out and just seeing what will happen, you think how profitable that is. I have some experiences I want to share in my life. I remember hearing people say things like, "Well, just figure it out yourself." You know, that's not taking any initiative to give instruction. And sometimes maybe you get that response after you have resisted instruction, and maybe the parent or the supervisor says, "Well, you're just going to have to figure it out yourself." But for me to take that attitude and I'm unwilling to share information and I'm unwilling to give instruction and I think everybody ought to figure everything out for themselves, I feel like that's an unfortunate situation at the minimum. I remember one time being in a conversation with an older man. He was old enough maybe to be my grandfather. And he happened to I don't know how the conversation got there, but he was talking about a relatively sensitive subject. And he told me that he just never felt like he could talk to his sons about that subject. And consequently, he said, I'd just rather them get that information from some other source. And I come away from thinking, and this was before I was ever married or before I had any children of my own, and I come away from that thinking, with the help of the Lord, I'm not going to do that. I felt that that was such a poor position to take that I would rather someone else share information with my sons than me. Who else loves them more? Who else wants them to get the right information the first time than me? I'm the father. And I come away not thinking ill of the man, but I was disappointed. I thought, I'm glad you're not my father. So I want us to challenge us here today with the help of the Lord to get in a position where we can effectively instruct or communicate. Another experience I had, I was on my job and working on something that was being very elusive, and we needed a piece of equipment. While I was struggling with this particular vehicle off and on for seemed like several days or maybe a week or two, it'd go away and then come back. And we needed this piece of equipment. So finally, the place I worked decided to buy it. So they ordered it. And when it got in, the person that brought it to me said, I'm gonna show you everything that I know about this. And this person had been known to share some pretty incredible things with me before. They're the type that might have took the book home and read it over the weekend, all right? So they brought the piece of equipment out and set it on my workbench. And it was a plastic box with some little latch tabs on it. And down there on the latch tabs, there was some words. And it said, "Lift here." So he bent over and he said, "You see right there, it says lift here." So he lifted the lid and opened it up. He said, "There you go. That's all I know about it." That was not what I was wanting him. That's not what I was wanting him to say. I was already, you might say, stressed out with trying to resolve the issue. And I was hoping somebody would say, "Well, now here's where you turn it on, and this is how you hook it up, and you want to use these components here to get the results that you're looking for." But he didn't give me any of that. He just said, "It says right here on the box, lift here." And that was not a very good fit. He wasn't very effective in giving me any training. And sometimes, if we're not careful, instead of doing the research and being in a place to where we can effectively communicate information to our peers, the next generation, or those that we're trying to be a help to, instead of doing that, we just say, "Lift here. Do the best you can with it. I'm sure you can figure that out." You know, I believe we can do better. I believe we can do better in helping the next generation. Not just giving them a life of ease, but helping them with some fundamentals that they can build on and come to the right answer instead of just smearing the page up. You know, there's just a limited number of times that you can take your notebook paper and erase that math problem and write it again without starting over. The page gets deteriorated. And I want those that come behind my life to be able to know how to find the answers that God wants them to find without erasing and figuring and erasing and figuring. Somehow, I want to pass some information on that they'll be able to work with. I've had instructors that shouldn't have been instructors. And you probably have too. Sometimes they can't keep order in the class, and sometimes they just don't have the right information. I remember being in a class one time with some other of my peers, not that I knew them, but they were all doing the same job as I was doing. And as we were going through the class, we had an exercise to do, and we were to take this one electrical connector apart and start doing some resistance measurements. Well, I don't remember what I was checking, but anyway, the bug was a paper clip that was stuck in the connector. So we pull this connector apart, and the shorted circuit wasn't in there. We started checking this out, and we was taking other things apart, and he come by, and he said, "Well, what are y'all doing?" And I said, "We're following the book. It says, if we don't find it here, we're going to go over to this other place." "Oh, no, no, no." He said, "You already should have already found it." And I said, "Well, it wasn't there. We took the connector off that the book says to take off." He said, "Well, which one did you take off?" So I showed him which one we took off. He said, "Oh, no." I said, "It's this one over here." And I said, "Well, no, the schematic says that's this other connector." And so he said, "Okay, everybody come sit down." So we sat down. I knew this was not going to be a good experience. He said, "I just want everybody to know from now on, this is the bulkhead connector." And I thought, what do I do? What do you do when somebody is given wrong information? What's your obligation? So I thought, well, I can just let it go. And I thought, you know, this guy can't fire me. So I said, "Look, I don't mean to be obnoxious, but I said, that connector, I said, you're supposed to pull this bulkhead connector off to be able to hook this test equipment up. I said, if you do, that tester won't fit there, but it will fit over here where we took it loose." And he said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, that's right." And he looked at the class and he said, "Is that right?" And nobody would say anything. And I thought I was in real trouble. But it finally ended up, he recognized that that really was the bulkhead connector. We got it resolved. And you know, that person became my friend after that. And I'm very thankful for that. But I tell that story not for any purpose other than to help us understand that it's imperative that we give good information and that it's accurate and it is actually going to work. We don't want to, as one place in the scripture talks about our children asking bread, what are you going to give them? You're not going to give them something that's damaging or harmful to them. You want to give them something that's beneficial to them, something that they can work with. I've had instructors that cause me to stay interested even about subjects that I didn't really care to learn. It's like, what am I going to do with this? I had a teacher in high school. It was one of the last years she taught. She was an older lady. And she taught typing. And I'm old enough to know when I was in school, We had mostly manual typewriters and just a few electric ones, all right? And I took typing because I didn't want to take chorus. And I was sitting in this typing class, and it was like, what am I ever going to do with typing? I have no aspiration at all in my life to be sitting at a typewriter composing something. But I tell you, I'm glad for the things that I learned in that typing class, because I'm constantly entering information into a laptop and hitting the enter key. And you know, I really do know the right finger position. I'm not very good at going up to numbers and stuff like that, but I can capitalize things and keep flowing and type. Kinda, sort of. But she got me interested because she asked us to type up things like what we really wanted to do when we got out of school. And she got me to the point that I became somewhat interested in being proficient at it. You know, set little goals, and the first person that could type so many minutes, so many words in a minute. Sister Melanie may have had the same teacher. Arowana Hyde, you remember that? Okay. I think of a scripture we have in the Bible, in Proverbs 22:6. Y'all know this verse. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, if training is to be effective, it's not just how to get from point A to point B, but it is something that becomes part of the nature. All right? So if we train up a child in the way he should go, there's going to be something about their nature that you molded to where wherever they are in life, even if they are not doing what you really told them to do, there is going to be a memory. There's going to be something that's going to follow after them and remind them what they really ought to do. And there's going to be principles that you give them that will be able to be an assistance to them when they come to their problems in life. It says here, to train up a child in the way he should go. That's effective instruction, I believe. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. To think about guiding another generation successfully is an amazing feat. I look on it and I think, Lord, how can I, as a parent, effectively guide another generation? Because they're going to be adults. They've got opinions. They've got goals. They've got all kinds of ideas themselves. And, you know, when they're little, you tell them, don't do this because I said so. And then when they get a little bit bigger, you've got to tell them, well, look, here's the reason why I don't want you doing this. And then later on, you've got to kind of say, now look, you know, when they get to the age that they're moving out of the house, you can say, well, is that something you think that I do? And you've got to do a lot more praying. But to think about effectively shaping another generation, Lord, help us. It's a big challenge. It's a big challenge. I wonder, sometimes I've heard the expression about children, maybe grown children, and the parents say, well, they know what's right. They know what's right and wrong. And I wonder, do they? Do they know what's right and wrong? Were they effectively instructed in godly principles, or were they not? I find this a great challenge in my life. I'd like to turn over to the book of Matthew and notice a verse in Matthew 23. I'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Now I find in this passage of Scripture that Jesus says that there are those that are teaching, and this word rabbi is a title. For one definition says eminent teachers of the law, almost like we might use the term doctor or something today. It's a title of honor and dignity. It's denoting authority and the ability to teach. I don't know about other fathers, but when I became a father, that was an exhilarating feeling. I felt, I felt very blessed at that time. But to be able to be the father that I should be, I've found a far greater challenge than just the exhilaration of the idea of being a father. And this story that I've read you, it sounds like there's instruction being given, and it's not that the instruction was all bad, but they didn't live it. It's one thing as a father or an employer to require something out of your subordinates, maybe I'll say it that way, and not be willing to show them how or to give them an example. And it's another thing to invite them to join you in your endeavor and what you're trying to accomplish. So the point that I want to try to make here is effective training or effective instruction doesn't happen just by dictation. It's not effective to be able to just tell somebody, go do it, lift here. I don't care what you've got to do, just get it done. Well, if you haven't trained effectively, you're going to end up with disappointment. It's going to be discouraging, and you're going to be, your expectation is not going to be met, and you're going to be more frustrated with the whole situation than you would have been. You know, as a father, I've found myself asking, requiring something, and then when it didn't meet my expectations, I asked myself, did I really show them what I wanted done anyway? Did I really go out there and make sure they understood? Can I really discipline them for being disobedient, or is it really my fault? That's a question I've had to ask myself many times. And as a spiritual application, am I really given instruction? Or am I telling someone to have grace? Am I telling someone to be big or strong or let the Lord work in something, and I haven't helped them know how to do that? Lord, help us. These people wanted to be recognized as teacher and as a teacher or a leader, but they really weren't. I wanted to be recognized as a father. And with the help of the Lord, I have been a father. Jesus said, what they're saying has some value to it, but don't do like they're doing. I don't want that said about me. Amen. With the help of the Lord. I want to turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter, and I want to notice a verse here. The Apostle Paul shared with us something that I find extremely challenging to read, especially on the heels of the verse I just read. Philippians 4 and 9. And I'm having a little trouble here. 4 and 9 says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen," that's a lot, "in me," he says, "do." The things that you have seen incorporated in my life, do those. And the God of peace shall be with you. It's one thing to tell someone, the Lord will help you. The Lord will be with you. And it's another thing to say, now you remember the dilemmas I've been in. You remember the things that I've faced. The Lord was with me. And I believe He'd be with you. You know, when you're able to impart that kind of guidance, it carries a lot more weight. It's much more effective than to be able, than just to tell someone, just go do it. It'll work. You just keep trying, it'll do it. It'll work. That's not as effective. A guidance by example is incredibly valuable. Please don't ever discount that. I'll tell you a little funny story so y'all maybe won't get too drowsy on me. My oldest son, I didn't seem to tell the other boys this as much, but maybe I should have. But when he was real small, of course it was hard for him to stay focused on what I was doing and when he was with me, but I got to telling him, "Watch me, you might learn something." And told this story before, but I was working on a person's vehicle at the house, and I'd told him that a lot of times. And of course, he was just busy. He wasn't old enough to go to school yet, but it was time to take the lug nuts off. I was going to take the wheel off of this thing, and I told him, I said, "Son, you go ahead and take those lug nuts off with the impact." Of course, he was real excited about getting to use my air tool, so I let him use that, and he started taking the lug nuts off, and the other fellow that was there I stepped out of the building for something else, and he stepped out, kind of was not watching my son. And so my son took one or two lug nuts off, and he got ready to take another one up, and he hollered at that fellow, and he said, "Hey," he said, "watch me, you might learn something." But I want you to know that when you get ready to do something, if you have your children right there watching you, they're going to learn something. And there's times that it will be a lot easier, especially when they're small. And even just not so long ago, I was trying to do, my sons are bigger than I am now, but we was trying to do something, and I'm dealing with glasses and all of these kind of things. Y'all know what I'm talking about here. I'm trying to see what I'm doing, and they're right in the midst of what I'm doing. I wanted them to learn, but I said, "Son, you're going to have to just back up a little bit and give me a little room so I can see what I'm doing here." But it was a good experience because he was right there and he was watching what I was doing. And that's so valuable on the temporal level, and it's on the spiritual level too. When they see us taking time for the Lord, and they see us putting God first and being in camp meeting and coming to worship service at home, wherever that might be, when they see us doing that and not just saying, "Well, y'all go on to church, I got something I need to do today." Don't do that. Don't do that. Even if you mean good, don't do that. Be there with them. Tell them to watch, just like the Apostle Paul, he said, "The things that you have seen and heard and witnessed in my life, you do them, and God's peace will be with you." Lord, help us to be that. That's effective instruction. when we're able to take our children and those around us, and when those that don't live in our house, maybe they're in the congregation and maybe they're in the neighborhood, and when they see us putting God first, and they learn something. They learn something. They're able. It's effective. It's not just hearsay. It's not just something thrown out. You know, today everything that we say is many times contested. Somebody Googles it to see if it's true or not, or they. They'd look for some way to discount it or discredit it or something like that. Find some source on the internet that you never heard of. And it's important that we demonstrate the principles of godliness in our everyday life. And they can see this. That's the only effective, that's not the only, but that's a effective way to transmit and communicate instruction from one generation to the next. And when they see the blessings of the Lord make on our lives, and they recognize, well, there's a combination here. And it's not you throwing the Bible at them and saying, here, y'all read the New Testament, and you'll find the answers in there. No, it's more than that. When they see godliness being lived on a daily basis, that's what our children need. That's what our neighborhoods need. They don't need to see somebody that's volatile one time and inviting them to revival the next time. They need to see consistency and carefulness. That's effective. I don't want to think of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Moses gave instructions after he had recounted law, God's instructions to the people. He gave them some instructions beginning Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. He says here, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." He's talking about not only living it before them, but utilizing the environment around us to help us with our teaching. If nothing else, maybe the minister's willingness to share their little personal experiences can see that we're human too. And we face real life and we have dilemmas. And when we expose our shortcomings and our victories and those kind of things, you're able to see, you know, I've had something like that. It doesn't matter what the subject is, but when we begin to connect with our circumstances, it's effective. When you think about God's instruction and His how He talked to Moses, you remember what He did? He didn't put up a billboard out in the middle of the desert. He used a bush. And then when He was commissioning him to go before Pharaoh, He didn't give him a shopping list to go to Granger's to get a bunch of tools to go to the Pharaoh. He didn't do that. He said, "What you got in your hand, Moses?" "Well, I got a rod." He said, "Well, throw it on the ground." And y'all know what happened to it, don't you? Turned into a serpent. The Lord wants us to be prepared to use our environment. Boys, children, you see how this didn't turn out? You know, it's because we didn't read the instructions first. You know, life will be like that if we don't really read the scripture. You know, this would have been a lot better if I would have counted all the bolts before I started and maybe sorted them out. I'm one of those that just likes to dump it all out and, you know, find my own way sometimes. Sometimes reading those instructions are very tedious. And you think you can cut through it all, but then when you end up at the end and you've used all the long bolts and all you've got is short ones and you need some long ones, you wish you'd have read the instructions first. And many times you can use things just like that. And you can say, you know, children, if we will really apply ourselves to know what does God expect out of us, when we come to the end, we'll be able to meet Him in peace. But if we just go along, you know, we've been reading the book of Judges and family worship. Used to read those, you know, condensed Bible stories. I told the boys, you're old enough now, we can just read it right from the scriptures. So we've been reading the book of Judges, and you know how there's a bunch of times in there that it says, and they did what was right in their own eyes. And every time it says that, they got in trouble. And you know, if we realize that, we just start getting into the Word and understand, what is the principles? What is the Lord wanting us to do? He wants us to live in a way that's acceptable to Him. Yes, but where's the details from there? It's more than lift here and raise the box. It's more than that. Why is it that He wants us to be careful in our everyday life? Why is it? Well, there's something that He detests. He detests immorality. He detests immorality because it's an example of idolatry. And He don't want anything to be worshipped ahead of Him. So all of this comes trickling down to understand, what does God want? He don't want us to worship anything but Him. He don't want me to do fleshly, immoral things just because, for the same reason He don't want me to do spiritual immoral things. I mean idolatry. So if I'm going to be careful about not doing fleshly immoral things, what is the safeguards? Where's the parameters? How do I safeguard myself from that? You see? We have to start effectively communicating instead of saying, well, from here on out, it's called this. You know, that's what the teacher said in my class. We need to give a better, it needs to be more thorough, it needs to be more effective. Because all of us are going to find ourselves out on the limb, so to speak. And we're going to have to answer for ourselves sooner or later. You know this, I believe it's the Greek. I don't know if it's just the word teach or if it's the phrase there that he uses. It comes from it's not Greek, it's Hebrew, I'm sorry. Comes from a Hebrew expression that means to repeat. To iterate, to do a thing again and again. One of the most incredible things about instructing is you don't get to do it just one time. Even if you only have one child, you have to do it more than one time. And if you have however many times you have to do it for one, just multiply that times the number of children you have. Because you're going to have to do it over and over again. Most generally, the younger ones don't get it when you're teaching the older ones. And you know, by the time you get around to the younger ones, sometimes you just assume they got it when you taught the older ones. So Lord, help us to be effective and to be willing to teach and to iterate and repeat again and again. Second Timothy, the second chapter, I'd like to look there briefly. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient." You know, to be able to effectively instruct or teach, you've got to be patient. And you know that if you thoroughly understand the concept and somebody else doesn't, it's easy to get impatient with somebody that doesn't. And you try to share something with them and it's like, you can tell it just went over their head. They didn't really get it. And you go back and say, did you hear what I said? And they say, I heard what you said. But you can tell that they really didn't take it to heart. And you're going to have to find another way to approach it sometimes. Remember one time, back before cell phones, my wife called me at work. You know, they had to page me to the phone, so I go to the phone, and she said, I don't remember what the infraction the boys had got involved in, but they had done something that they shouldn't have, and she said, I've already disciplined them twice. And they went back and done the same thing again. And I said, well, discipline them again. You just got to keep on doing it. I don't know why, but for some reason there's something fascinating about doing what you told them not to do. There are those times when you feel like you have went out of your way in trying to perceive danger and forewarn someone about danger. I had an experience, I'll tell this too. We were remodeling our house and got a new electric service in. So in the process, we had the new meter mounted, and the old meter box was still on the house. And I had connected the new service to the old service, but there was no meter in there. There's just a hole in there. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to tell the boys, don't put anything in that hole because there's voltage in there. That'll hurt you. So we had been away from the house and we come back. And before we could get to the back door where the old meter was, here's one of the boys with a stick. Thank the Lord it was just a stick. But he picked up a stick off of the ground and he was over there poking that stick in that meter. I said, why did you do that? I told you not to. But that, somehow I didn't effectively communicate. You see, it's the best chances, the best efforts that you make sometimes is going to not be successful. And you have to repeat it. And sometimes it seems like it's still, but you're going to have to repeat it. That's why it said patient here. He said apt to teach and patient. Notice this verse said here, started out, the servant of the Lord. If you're saved today, I believe you're a servant of the Lord. It doesn't mean you're necessarily a spiritual leader somewhere, but you're a servant of the Lord. And to be a servant of the Lord, we must have an apt to teach. That's not an app for this. All right? It's got a T on the end. It's apt. And that word means inclined, disposed, ready, quick, qualified, fit, apt to teach. So I just want to charge you today, if you are going to be effective in passing on something, every one of us that has a profession of salvation, by the grace of God, I'm a servant of God. Whether I'm standing here or sitting on the back bench, we must be apt to teach in our area. Whether it be my children, whether it be those that I come in contact with. We must cultivate preparedness. We must cultivate a disposition to learn how to use my circumstances. And have y'all ever thought how this is connected? Do you see the parallels with my everyday life and why I'm careful over here in my spiritual life? I'm not trying to talk to you. I'm trying to help us understand how we would talk to someone else. I'm concerned about our children, for sure. But I'm concerned about us as congregations. Those of us that might stand in front of the group and teach. Lord, help us to know how to effectively do it. You know, it's one thing to just pour out a bunch of information, but how do we effectively communicate and get the interaction from those that's there to where they begin to respond. And, you know, when you see the little lights going off in their eyes and you think, ah, they got it. They understood what I'm trying to say. I think they'll go home and think about it at the least. That's what we want, isn't it? It's not just parents of children. Let's go to Titus. I have one last scripture I'd like to share with you. Titus, the second chapter, the third and the fourth verse, says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children." I would like to use this not gender specific. I believe that this applies to men as well as women. And fathers, if you feel that you're not a teacher, ask the Lord to help you be one, because you need to be a teacher. You are going to teach by what you do anyway. But Lord, how do I become a teacher? You see, I don't feel like I am. I recognize that maybe my wife is a better teacher than I am, or whatever your position is right now. But start seeking, how do I begin to relate the things that are valuable? I look on and I think about the things our past generations knew how to do, and many of us don't know how to do. How many of y'all can make lye soap today? Probably not very many. There's other things we could go into. I've had this passion in my life of learning how to do things for myself, and trying to not just discover how to do the things around my own home, but be able to show my children how to do those things too, and give them an inspiration of doing it because they find fulfillment in seeing the job done. You know, we got an epidemic today that wants payment before the job is done. I want to see people that's willing to, that looks so good to get the grass mowed. You know, when you finish the yard and it's all trimmed and everything looks neat and tidy, there's this feeling of fulfillment that comes. When the house is all cleaned up and everything is put in its place, there's a sense of fulfillment there. I believe somehow we have to teach that many times that's all the payment you need. That's all the payment you need. The job's done good. I don't have to pay them to wash the dishes. I don't have to pay them to mow the yard. I can remind them that I don't charge them for meals or any of the other services that's part of the house. But just the realization, doesn't that look good, guys? I know you worked hard. Let's make a game out of it and see how fast we can get the job done. And you go out there and work with them. And teach them how. Don't do it like this. Do it this way. And this is why. And then there'll be that day that you say, go get it done. Lord, help us to be effective teachers. But I read this because being an effective teacher goes beyond the home. We need, you know, Brother Marty said something last night. Look around and all the older ones are disappearing. And I have that sensation too, because I'm fast moving into that myself. I'm fast moving into the older generation. And as we move into that, you know, there's a responsibility for those of you that are old enough to be my parents, and some of you are. It's you have a responsibility to help, to be an effective teacher to me. Yes. Help me understand the things about service to the Lord, about being a father, about being a husband, about whatever needs to be. You have a responsibility. And folks, we are in a, I feel like we're in a desperate situation of effectively instructing and communicating. And I want it to happen so bad. I don't want to fail at my post of duty. But neither do I want every one of us to step up to the plate wherever your plate is. Whatever your area of responsibility is, step up to the plate. If you don't feel like you're a teacher, cultivate. You're a servant of the Lord, aren't you?
Yes.
If you're a servant of the Lord, then I'm going to use the authority of that scripture to tell you you need to cultivate being a teacher, being an instructor. Get in a place where you got the goods on hand. Don't be a scribe and Pharisee where you're just telling somebody what they ought to do, but get the goods on hand. Get it in your own life. Practice it. Demonstrate it. Well, other people look on and they see something there that they want. They want to be around you. They want to be near you because they might learn something. They might get a hold of something that'll help them in their lives. You pray for me.